Good evening.
How are you doing? Well,
we are going through the book of Nehemiah, and today we are at Nehemiah 4. And in my Bible, it says Nehemiah helps the poor. So we're going to be looking at this whole idea of being a community that restores and rebuilds. You know, that kind of as we experience what Jesus has done for us, that we kind of are restored and rebuilt. And then we get to be a community that redeems and restores. That's the whole idea, kind of. And so today we're looking at a community of justice. Last week we looked at a community that protects and stands. And the week before that we looked at a community that rebuilds. So today we're looking at a community of justice. So I'm going to read Nehemiah 5 to you. Here it goes. It's quite long, so I might cut some bits out. We'll see how it goes. But here we go. Now, the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." Still others were saying, "We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our field and vineyards. Although we are of the same flesh and blood as our countrymen, and though our sons and are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of your daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others." When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, "You are exacting usury from your own countrymen." So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and say, "As far as possible, we have brought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your brothers only for them to be sold back to us." They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, "What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let the exacting of usury stop. Give back to them immediately their fields and vineyards, olive groves and houses, and also the usury you are charging them, the hundredth part of the money, grain, new wine, and oil." "We will give it back," they said, "and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say." Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, "In this way may God shake out of his house and the possessions every man who has not kept this promise. So may such a man be shaken out and emptied." At this, the whole assembly said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. And the people did as they had promised. And then just skipping a little bit to 17. "Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me." I'd like that. "And every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor because the demands were heavy on these people. Remember me with favor, oh my God, for all I have done for these people." Okay, so we get to the point in the story where they're busy rebuilding the wall, and things seem to be going all right. They've got a bit of a kind of the enemy attacking them and putting them down, but Nehemiah has got the workers with swords in their hands, and they're kind of protecting one another and looking out for one another. But then in the midst of kind of rebuilding this wall and rebuilding Jerusalem, Nehemiah sees that actually the society within the walls is just as broken down as the walls themselves. There was injustice. There was injustice, Gloria. I don't know what else to say. There were officials and noblemen kind of using the poor, their brothers and sisters, putting them into slavery, charging them tax, and making life hard, kind of treading down the poor. And what I love about this is that Nehemiah just has such an amazing heart. He has the heart of God. Not only is he there rebuilding the wall, because he knows that his God is a God who rebuilds. He's a God who restores. He then sees that there's injustice. He sees that everything is not right and as it should be in the society that he's working. And there's this amazing phrase in this. It's Nehemiah 5:6. He says, "When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I was very angry." There is a holy anger. And sometimes it's okay for us to get angry. Nehemiah showed something of the heart of God in this. He saw injustice and he was angry. Now, my friend is staying with me, and his name is Jonathan Fossey. Some of you know him. Me and Jonathan have a bit of a weird friendship. So we will randomly start preaching to one another in an American accent around the house, just because that's what we like to do and we're a bit weird. And oh gosh, I shouldn't really say this. I was talking about what I was talking about, and about like thinking about what I was going to say tonight, and then we started having our, you know, little pretend preaching moment. And Jonathan came up with something which I thought was quite cool, as I wrote it down, and I noted Jonathan Fossey, 2014. He goes, he said this in an American accent, but he said, "Anger, holy anger, is a natural byproduct of being connected to the heart of the Father." I thought, I like that. Holy anger is a natural byproduct of being connected to the heart of the Father. I think that's really important, because when it comes to things like injustice and, you know, oh my gosh, you look at the world and you think, there's so much going on, where do you begin? Well, I think it's important that we begin in the heart of the Father. That we don't, you know, go, you know, if you go to like Christian events, there's always like a marketplace, isn't there? And you can come out with reams of books about this charity and this thing, and you could be like, oh my goodness, you know, what am I going to do? Because there's so much in the world that isn't right, okay? And I just feel that actually we want to be a people who like Nehemiah, bring order into chaos. Chaos into order. Whatever. Order. No, order into chaos. Yeah. What am I? Oh, that's right, isn't it? You want to bring order into chaos. Yeah, that is fine. That is a good thing, isn't it? Oh, God. Anyway. Glory. But it's got to start. It's got to be birthed in the heart of the Father. What is it that makes you angry? And I think sometimes it's something that out of the place of being with God, out of the place of being close to Him, something will be highlighted and we'll start getting angry about something. And I wonder, I just want to ask the question tonight, what gets you angry? And it's okay if there isn't anything. But I'm pretty sure that if we start developing intimacy with God, sooner or later, something will get us angry because we're going to begin to catch His heart and we're going to begin to want to see order come where there is chaos. We want to see His kingdom come where there's something that isn't right. It's really been interesting for me. I found that lately the thing that's been getting me angry is bad theology. Okay. Theology that keeps people in bondage. Theology that shows God to be an angry, distant kind of God. For me, that's the thing that's getting me angry. And I want to do something about that. I want to tell people that He's not an angry, distant God. But I know that there, as a people, that there's so much. I mean, it's amazing. Libby, who comes to the morning service, has got such an incredible heart for seeing slavery abolished in our day and doing something towards that. And she's got an event that is happening next week, I think. Again, isn't that awesome? That's something birthed there. Of injustice, that someone in our faith community here is doing something is standing up and saying this isn't right. And again, as a community, we can support her in that. Anger, holy anger, is a natural byproduct of being connected to the heart of the Father. It comes out of intimacy. Just like Paul said, he was compelled by love. You know, we don't want to be obliged to bring about change, but we do want to be compelled to bring about change. And I see this in Nehemiah. He was compelled by love to see change come about. So I guess that's the first stage, is closeness to God, getting the heart of the Father, getting angry with Him about the things that aren't right. And then He goes on to expose what's going on. He confronts it. He challenges it head on. I often feel like, how do you even begin to do that? So often when you see kind of difficulty in the world, for me, I don't like confrontations. I'm like, what do I do? But as we were praying earlier, I just kind of felt like God was saying that He wanted to unlock kind of there's potential and passion on the inside of us. That again, as we stay in the place of closeness and intimacy with the Father, that He will show us ways of bringing order where there's chaos. He'll show us how we can challenge the things that are bringing oppression to those around us. For me, on my journey, I think that looks like telling people, coming alongside people and preaching identity where they've been sold a lie. What does it look like for you? What is the thing that you're passionate about? What is the thing that you're angry about? I believe God would want to unlock ways of exposing and confronting and changing the things that you're angry about. Yeah. I love the fact that Nehemiah goes on, if we read all the way through, it says that he had an open table, that he was, part of the way that he was dealing with this was through hospitality and through generosity and through community and communion. And I guess at the heart of the problem of injustice is the idea of division. And the gospel tears that down, because the gospel preaches oneness. The gospel preaches inclusion. Let me read to you from Galatians 3:26. It says this: "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The problem with injustice, the problem with what Nehemiah saw, was that there was hierarchy, that there was division, where the gospel preaches that we're one, that we're all one, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. So I think ultimately the solution to injustice, the solution to division, the solution to unfairness is this amazing gospel that we've been made one in Christ. And we need to begin to see others and help others see the beauty and the value of humanity, the beauty and the value of one another. The gospel is such a safe place to be because it doesn't raise people up above others, but it raises us all up to sit with princes. And when we begin to see like that, we get the eyes of Jesus, and we begin to see the poor, the oppressed, like Jesus. It says, doesn't it? I think it's in Isaiah, that he takes us from the ash heap and he sits us with the princes. And that's the heart of the Father, to take those who are sat in the ash heap, those who are broken and hurting, and to raise them up and seat them in that place of royalty. And so I love it that Nehemiah has an open table, that there's this plate, he's going into this society where there's division, where officials are having, you know, amazing meals and getting loads of tax and off their fellow Jewish brothers and sisters. But there Nehemiah is confronting that with generosity, with inviting people to his table. He is, through his very actions, preaching the gospel. He is realizing that everyone is one We are all one in Christ Jesus, and he's treating people that way. I can't remember who said it, and it's really bad that I can't remember who said it. Chris will probably know. But someone said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Or if, oh yeah, that's all right, isn't it? Someone said that. I can't remember who. Someone important. But I kind of feel in this part of Nehemiah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's preaching the gospel by challenging injustice, by opening his table, by giving his money, his grain and his wine. Because as he does that, it's like he begins to change the atmosphere. He begins to change the climate in that little society. And isn't that exciting that we get to do the same? That in the way that we live our lives, we can begin to change the way our society lives, the way our society works, just by being generous, just by seeing other people with the eyes of Jesus, seeing that we are one in him, and honouring and loving and taking people from the ash heap and sitting them with the princes. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much that part of being a community that rebuilds, a community restores, at the heart of it is a concern and an anger towards injustice. There's a concern for the poor and the broken. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to unlock that within us. God, that you'd show us how we can confront injustice. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd help us to just draw close to the Father and to get a heart, God, for the things that aren't right. And God, through our actions, God, through generosity, through putting others before ourselves, God, we would begin to see the very kind of atmosphere change in our communities, in our workplaces. God, that we would see order restored where there's chaos. Or we'd see your kingdom come. That we'd see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, God, that we get to be that people that brings change, God, through the way we live our lives. So, Holy Spirit, would you unlock that in us? Would you show us what it looks like to be a people who stand against injustice and bring justice, God, wherever we go? Amen.